Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the last part, for it says, "For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again." And in this text, it's in verse 38 with the matter of giving and receiving, but the same phrase is used in Matthew 7 and 1, and it's used about judging there. You know, a lot of people use it in conjunction with giving and receiving, but at any rate, if you take these phrases seriously, like whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap, you begin to see that we actually create our own future by what we sow right now. The way we measure out is the way we're going to receive in return. What we sow is what we're going to receive in return. What we saw last Bible study was that in the matter of giving and receiving, you create your own future. You know, you have quite a hand in saying what your future is going to be about in the matter of sowing and reaping. But I'd like to go and look at the opposite direction, look in this matter of judging concerning with what measure you meet it out, it shall be measured unto you again. Because in Luke 6 and 38, I believe that phrase also goes with the preceding verses before it. And judgment is one of the things that's mentioned there in verse 37. And judge not, and you shall not be judged. And condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Release, and you shall be released. Of course, the phrase is in immediate conjunction in Matthew 7 and 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. In the matter of how we deal with our brothers in all ways, I think, you know, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And in that matter, I think we ought to be very careful about how we walk before the Lord and seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that the Lord is watching, you know, and that he is so sovereign that he is going to make sure that we reap what we sow for our own good, you know, in the matter of chastening, in the matter of blessing. We saw last time how in the matter of blessing and giving and receiving, with what measure we meet, it shall be measured unto us again. And the opposite was true, too. The people that held back more than was necessary in Ecclesiastes and in Proverbs, we noticed that it was withheld from them. In this matter of judgment, I think that we have to be very, very careful not to judge before the correct time, you know, which is the Lord's time, of course. And we have so many reasons not to judge given in the Scriptures. Some people think that's the only law, but it's not. There is a time to judge, and there's wisdom to judge with given from the Scriptures. But in Romans chapter 1, and say verse 29 and 30, there's some sins mentioned. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful. Just a list of a few sins, okay? You obviously couldn't put them all in there because you'd have the whole law there. But he makes the point down in verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemn thyself. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckon this, O man, who judges them that practice such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. It appears that God's judgment comes very swiftly upon those that judge others for doing some of the very same things that they're doing. And yet, I really don't think it makes a lot of difference. Some people say, well, you can't judge other people for the same thing that you're doing. And he does make that point in further on in the chapter in verse 21. But there is another point to be made here, and that's that in any point that you break God's law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law, the Scripture says. Okay? Therefore, you're judged as a lawbreaker. And I think in that point, what it's saying here is when you judge another, you still judge yourself. If you judge them worthy of the judgment of God for breaking God's law, and yet you're breaking God's law, right? So as men, we have lost our right completely. I mean completely. Even Jesus gave up this right. And I proved that to you too. Jesus gave up the right as man to judge anybody. He didn't do it. He said he didn't do it. And we, of course, have to give up that right too. Completely give up that right. For one reason, the people that we're judging most often are the servant of another. In Romans 14 and 4, it says, who art thou that judges the servant of another? To his own Lord, he stands or falls. You know, how would you think if somebody would always be chastening your kid, whipping your kid for not doing right, you know? And that's the way the Lord looks at it, you know? When somebody, he can whip his kid, and he can use you to do it, but he don't want somebody else doing it. And believe me, when you're doing it in the flesh, you're not doing it for God, you're doing it for the devil. You know, when we judge people in the flesh, we are not chastening his children for God. We're doing it for the devil. And I don't think he appreciates it, according to this verse. To his own Lord he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord hath power to make him stand. And that should be our confidence for our brothers who are stumbling, you know, is that we should be confident that the Lord is able to make them stand. You know, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you shall perfect it, you know. And he said, even as it is right for us to be thus minded in your behalf. In other words, because it is right for us to have the mind that God will perfect our brothers. He is overlooking, because of the blood of Jesus, their imperfections, and we have to overlook them too, you know. Again, I'm not talking about the outward moral disobedience for which he tells you to always judge in 1 Corinthians 5. The fornications and all the different things he listed there. The outward moral things that must be done away with, or a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. But with what measure we meted out to others, it's going to be measured unto us. If we begin to look at other people's imperfections and their lack, God will begin to take a closer look at ours. You know? That's something we can't afford. Yeah. None of us can afford that. You know? But in James chapter 2, for instance, what I was saying a minute ago becomes really plain. James 2 and say verse 8, okay? It says, howbeit, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Now, have you ever thought about loving your neighbor as yourself in regards to judgment and forgiveness, you know? We always want the Lord to love us and forgive us and to overlook judgment upon us. Yet, we have to look the same way upon our neighbor. We have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have to want God's same for our neighbor as we want for ourselves, right? Because it goes on to say, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. You see how that can become a respect of persons? You can respect yourself and not respect others in this matter of judgment and forgiveness, okay? Being convicted by the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's become guilty of all. In other words, they have become guilty, the ones we judge, and we are guilty also, you know. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you don't commit adultery but kill, you've become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as men that are judged by a law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to him that shows no mercy, and mercy glories against judgment. There you have it again. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. It's better to err on the side of mercy than on the side of judgment any day, you know. I believe God will overlook you erring on the side of mercy unless you're an elder in the church. And don't think the Lord will overlook that because he said he would know. Elders in churches have to do what Paul commanded them in 1 Corinthians 5 or else a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Still, it's better to err on the side of mercy than on the side of judgment unless we want judgment. I would rather be on the grace side than on the judgment side and harden their heart. Because you can make kids very hard, very rebellious, absolutely worthless by being over judgmental, you know. And that's true, I think. The people who are often reproved do harden their heart. I mean, I think it's a natural occurrence. I don't think it's because people give up after a while. If they have an inability because of their nature to do what people expect of them, and people always magnify their errors, then they're going to give up. Just like preachers who preach only the law and no grace, the people end up giving up and going back into the world. A lot of them do. A lot of Christians do that when they're under a legalistic ministry. But with what measure you meet, if you think that you deserve God's forgiveness, but your brother does not, then you're having respect of persons. And you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. You're not loving your brother as yourself. And Matthew 18 is a real good example. You know, Matthew 18 was the parable of the master who forgave, who called in a servant who owed him a debt, forgave the servant, and then the servant went out to not forgive his fellow servant. And, of course, the Lord said he turned such a one over to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due, you know. With what measure he measured it out, it was measured unto him, you know. He had no forgiveness for his fellow servant. His Lord turned around and took away all forgiveness that he had for him. And, of course, forgiveness and judgment go hand in hand. If you don't forgive, you will end up judging. You know? All judgment is because of unforgiveness, even God's. Judgment is because of unforgiveness. He judges because he does not forgive. And believe me, there's times God don't forgive. You know? Scripture's is plain on that too. But I was thinking the other day, you know, when you remember when Jesus in John chapter 8 was there before the Pharisees, and they had this woman that they'd caught in adultery. And he stooped down there and wrote with his finger on the ground, you know. Everybody likes to say what Jesus wrote on the ground. You know, I've heard so many different things, you know. The other day I had a thought about what Jesus wrote on the ground. Believe me, it's just conjecture because nobody knows, you know. But I had this thought when I was reading in Daniel chapter 5 what he might have wrote on the ground. And who knows? I don't know what he wrote on the ground. I'm going to tell you right now. But this thought popped into my head. Daniel chapter 5:25. I'll tell you why this popped into my head. It says, "And this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Now, really, this is an interpretation, not a translation. If you translate these words, you don't come up with the phrases that Daniel was giving them. Daniel was giving an interpretation. It's like tongues interpretation, you know. Some people have the objection of hearing a tongues. It don't sound nothing like the interpretation, you know. And sometimes that's not founded because it is not a translation. It's an interpretation. And in this case, too, for instance, Perez, just means divided. But when Daniel gave the interpretation, he said, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. There's nowhere you can find Medes and Persians in Perez. You know? He gave an interpretation to what God was showing there. Okay, tongues interpretation is the same way. But the point is, God said over and over through Jeremiah and in Isaiah that he was going to judge the Babylonians the same way they judged his people. For instance, in Jeremiah 51 is a good place. Verse 24, he says, I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of the Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. In other words, God was going to do everything to them that they did to God's people. Even today, God is going to render to Babylon everything that they have done against Zion, against God's people. And they are continually judging God's people, even these days. The recognized leaders, the Pharisees, the Babylonians, they are judging God's true prophets and true teachers continuously. But this was God's writing upon the wall here with his finger, you know. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, you know, he wrote. And it was that they didn't measure up, you know, to what they needed to measure up. And I think God was also giving them in a measure, the same measure that they had given to Babylon. But I often thought, you know, well, I wonder, you know, if Jesus could have wrote that on the ground, you know. Because who was he talking about? Who was he talking to there? He was talking to the same people that he accused of being Babylon, the one who was guilty of the blood of the prophets. And here they were. They were judging this person. And Jesus said he didn't judge it, you know. In this case, nobody knows what he wrote. But I think we should be careful not to be like the Pharisees in that manner of judging, because judging is not according to our mind. It's not according to our ability. I think one of the biggest enemies that we have in our promised land that we have to deal with and we have to overcome is that temptation to judge, that temptation to in fact, I think maybe Judges chapter 1 is a good example of that. When they were in the promised land, in the Canaan's land, and they were warring with the different enemies. And that's types, of course, of the lusts of our flesh that we go in there and we come against and we win this land that we live in for God, right? Well, in Judges chapter 1, right? And if you go back to verse 1 on down, you can see that it was talking about the enemies in the Canaanites in the promised land that they were going in there and conquering. Well, there was one king there, Adonai Bezek, which means Lord of Lightning, that I think symbolizes that inner temptation to judge other people, you know. Lord of Lightning. Lightning many times in the scriptures is used for the judgment of God. Even in the Greek mythology, lightning was a symbol of the judgment of God. You ever seen pictures of Zeus or Jupiter throwing bolts of lightning down upon men on the earth? You ever seen that picture, you know? Seen pictures like that. The Lord is likened unto lightning, you know? It says, for as lightning is seen from the east, even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. His coming again is likened unto lightning. He came as a lamb. He's coming as a lion. He's coming to judge this next time. But I think lightning symbolizes judgment. And a Lord, he's called Lord of Lightning, you know. There are lords in us, you know. Why? Because they rule, you know. They have authority. We've been given them authority to rule in us. But there should only be one Lord, and that is our Lord. But in verse 7, as Pete pointed out, it says, Adon Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their food under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. Notice they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. You know, isn't that the way it is? In our path, in our way to Zion, is where we put all these enemies to death, right?